So today we are going to go through 2 Timothy. Just as a brief recap, we have talked about some of the other books in the past. The books of Ephesians, Colossians, Philemon were all written by Paul while he was in prison in Rome, and then were sent to various churches by the hands of Tychicus. Philippians, and likely the book of Hebrews, we'll talk about that when we get to that book, were also written just before Paul's release. 1 Timothy and Titus, which we had covered 1 Timothy last month, were written by Paul probably after his imprisonment in Rome and before he was imprisoned again. 2 Timothy is another book written while Paul's in prison, but this is a different imprisonment than the one that was mentioned in the other books. And this is the second time he's in prison in Rome. Back then, the book of 2 Timothy is the last book that we have of Paul, the last one that he had written. Luke stated at the end of Acts, in Acts chapter 28, and in verse 30, Acts 28, verse 30, he says, he stayed 2 full years in his own rented apart quarters and was welcoming those who came to him. There were 2 whole years of Paul being in prison in Rome. The fact that Luke actually gives the time tells us that Acts was written after Paul was released. Luke knew how long he was in prison. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, depending on how you read this, 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 16 says, at my first defense, no one supported me, but all deserted me, may not be counted against them. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, so that through me the proclamation may be fully accomplished, and all the Gentiles might hear that I was rescued out of the lion's mouth. Now, depending on how you read that, some people read this as saying that this was Paul talking about the first time he was in prison, that he was rescued by the Lord. And he had his first defense, and now he is in prison a second time. Meaning if Paul was in Rome again, the other way to read it is that he had multiple trials while he was in Rome. And we'll talk about that a little bit later. But in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6, Paul says, for I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. Paul is not expecting to get out of prison this time. If you read through the books of Ephesians and Colossians and Philemon and Philippians, Paul's talking about his release from Rome, his coming to visit them, his desire to go visit Spain, to bring the gospel out to that region. He has all sorts of plans. This time, Paul talks about the fact that he's not going to get released, that this is going to be his death. And again, so we know that it was something that Paul wasn't looking forward to, but this, again, we're talking about a different imprisonment. Probably in 2 Timothy 4, verse 20, Paul says, Erastus has remained at Corinth. Trophimus, I left it sick at Miletus. Make every effort before winter. Leobus, also with Prudence and Linus and Claudia, and all the greet you with all the brethren. Just prior to his arrest, Paul says he's been in Miletus. He's been in Corinth. He also says in verse 13 that he was at Troas, because he says in verse 13, when you come, bring the cloak which I left at Troas with Carpus, and the books, especially the parchments. That might even explain why he left some things behind. He may have been arrested at Troas. Couldn't bring these things with him. And now he's asking Timothy to go pick them up. All these are places in Asia Minor. So Paul may have been traveling in that region, and that's when he probably was arrested. Some are also early Christian writers, such as Clement of Rome. While not inspired, they do mention that Paul was released by Caesar and did travel 2 years in Spain, but was eventually arrested again. For instance, Clement says, by reason of jealousy and strife, Paul, by his example, pointed out the prize of patient endurance. After that, he had been 7 times in bonds and had been driven into exile, had been stoned, and had preached in the East and in the West. He had won the noble renown, which was the reward of his faith, having taught righteousness unto the whole world and having reached the furthest bounds of the West. And when he had borne his testimony before the rulers, so he departed from the world and went into the holy place, having been found a notable pattern of patient endurance. It's mentioned that he went to the furthest west, which for in that era, in that time, all the way out to the edge of Spain, Portugal, in that area. Far as you can go west in their known world. Also, another book, which is called the Manchurian Canon, says, moreover, the Acts of all the apostles were written in one book. For most excellent Theophilus, Paul compiled the individual events that took place in his presence. As he plainly shows by omitting the martyrdom of Peter, as well as the departure of Paul from the city of Rome when he journeyed to Spain. As for the epistles of Paul, they themselves are clear as to those desiring to understand which ones they are, from what place, or for what reason they were sent. So in the list here, it says that Paul again went to Spain between the various books. And it matches what we know of the scriptures. Like I said, while these things are not actually inspired, we know Paul desired to go to Spain, that he had planned on it. We see mentions of his travel arrangements. And while it's not actually mentioned, other books do say that, yes, he did make it out that distance. Now, to understand something, you know, Paul was arrested before, and he was released. How is it now he's arrested again, just basically a few years later, and now he's not going to be released? What changed? See, Paul was in prison probably about 62 AD. Something happened in 64 AD. Nearly half of Rome burned. Some people suspect that Nero had it arranged to get rid of the poor quarters so he can build his building projects. But Nero blamed a group of people that were not popular at that time, which were known as the Christians. He blamed them for the burning of Rome. And that religion was made illegal because of that in AD 64, 2 years after Paul was released. Now it's AD 67, 3 years later. And Paul doesn't expect to leave this time. Things have changed because officially Christian religion is now illegal. People are scared. Take a look at 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15. There's a hint here. It says, it is a trustworthy statement deserving full acceptance that Christ Jesus came to the world to save sinners, among whom I am foremost of all. Oh, I got 1 Timothy. One it didn't match. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. You are aware of the fact that all who are in Asia turn away from me, among whom are Philetus and Hermogenes. All who are in Asia turned away from me. But that's where Paul was. Paul was in Ephesus and Miletus and Troas. Paul's saying was when he was arrested, no one supported him. No one stood up for him. Nobody came with him. Not this time. It might be that they were fearing for their lives at this time. In 2 Timothy 2 and in verse 8, remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, descendant of David, according to my gospel, for which I suffer hardship even to imprisonment as a criminal. But the word of God is not imprisoned. Paul was treated and considered an evildoer, a criminal, for teaching the gospel. Now, sometimes we take our freedoms of religion so casually. We just expect it to always be there. In the early first century, when Christianity first started, it was not popular among the Jews, but it was tolerated, it was accepted among the rest of the world, up until this time. And now even the government has turned away from Christianity and treated it as illegal. And people are now fearing for their lives. And as Paul said, he was abandoned by almost everyone. Take a look again at 2 Timothy 4. And in verse 10, it says, for Demas, having loved this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Sessens has gone to Galatia. Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Pick up Mark and bring him with you, for he's useful to me in service. Everybody's gone. Some people have abandoned the faith, like Demas. Some people have traveled elsewhere. Paul's looking at it, nobody's. And this is not like his first imprisonment, where people were traveling with him, even though he was a prisoner. People were meeting him at the various stops. Nobody's wanting to have much contact with him. And as we had already read earlier down in verse 16, if we take that as the first defense as in his trials before Caesar, he's also saying that nobody was there at the trials. Nobody supported him. Nobody said, hey, no, this man is right. He had no witnesses on his behalf. The book itself, though, that's being mentioned, is as far as its is the final words to Timothy. Timothy was a close associate with Paul, traveled with him, did errands for Paul, stayed at different churches while Paul went on to the next churches to make sure things were established well. Paul knows he's going to leave. And he wants to make sure Timothy is well prepared. In 2 Timothy 4, verse 12, he talks about where everybody's at. Tychicus he had sent to Ephesus, probably delivering one of Paul's letters. Probably this particular letter was delivered again by Tychicus. Timothy, we know, is in Ephesus because of 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18. The Lord grant to him to find mercy on the Lord at that day, and you know very well what services he rendered at Ephesus. So Ephesus is mentioned at least. And in chapter 4, verse 19, it says, greet Priscilla and Aquila and the household of Onesiphorus. Priscilla and Aquila were known to be dwelling in Ephesus. And so he's, again, sending greetings to those people, and it's probably that's where Timothy is at. Paul wanted him to stop on his way to Troas. We already mentioned that as well, on the way to Rome. If you're going from Ephesus, Troas is a little bit out of the way, but not too bad. Pick up the things that Paul left behind, and then come on to Rome. And Paul would like him to get there before winter, as well as Mark as well. In other words, Paul is not looking for a long imprisonment this time. He's not looking at years. It's probably looking at months. Get here as soon as you can. And so it's kind of ironic, because this letter is a letter of comfort. This is a letter of encouragement. And yes, so being penned by a man who's looking at death, in jail, just knowing that he's not going to survive, spending his last moments encouraging others. And he says things like, for instance, in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 1, "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." Timothy needs strength. He needs help. The one that he considers an earthly father, a spiritual father, is about to die. He's saying, be strong. It will be hard. In chapter 2, verse 3, "Suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus." And in chapter 4, verse 5, it says, "But you be sober in all things, endure hardships, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry." Over and over again, Paul's saying, it's going to get rough. It's going to get difficult. It's already really hard. Stay through it. He's told also to pass on the things that he knows. In verse 2, "The things that you heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, and trust those to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." This is not the time to draw in and isolate yourself. Teach that gospel. Give it to other people so that they can pass it on to other people. Yes, things look bad, and if Christianity is illegal, the very talking about it would put you as a target. Don't hide. Spread it. Down in verse 14, "Remind them of these things and solemnly charge them in the presence of God not to wrangle about words, which is useless and leads to the ruin of the hearts." Again, don't hide. Tell people. Face down the opposition. Speak out. And in chapter 4, verse 1, he says, "I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead by his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with great patience and instruction." Preach. It's a solemn charge. Whether the people want to hear it or not, whether they're ready for it or not, preach. As an outline of the book itself, Paul spends most of his early letters talking about, in each one of them, what he's thankful for. You got to, again, remember, we're talking about a man who's in prison now, looking at the end of his life. And he doesn't abandon his habits. This book starts out again with what he's thankful for. Verse 3, it says, "I thank God, whom I serve with a clear conscience, the way my forefathers did, as I constantly remember you in my prayers, night and day, longing to see you, even as I recall your tears, so that I may be filled with joy. For I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I'm sure that is in you as well." What does Paul want to know most? What he's thankful most for? The memories that he has of Timothy. Even the sad times when they departed from each other. Paul's thankful for the times that he had. From the past, then, Paul then talks about what has happened. And he tells Timothy, don't be ashamed. So for this reason, I remind you to kindle afresh the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. And for God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and love and discipline. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, or of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel according to the power of God. From there, Paul then talks about all that he's gone through, the suffering that he has had. Yes, it's hard. Yes, it's rough. But they have life to live and a gospel to preach. He moves from the past to the present. He talks at the beginning of chapter 2 how he has to pass on what he knows. As we had in our scripture reading, starting with verse 3 down to verse 7, he starts comparing preaching to other occupations. Things that are similar yet different about the teaching of the gospel. He says, suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. That we understand. Paul's talking about the hardship of prison, and he's saying, as a soldier, endure hardship. No soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of daily life so that he may please the one who enlisted him as a soldier. You're serving God. Don't get caught up in this world. Also, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not win the prize unless he competes according to the rules. Don't stop following the scriptures. Do what God commands. The hardworking farmer ought to be the first to receive his share of the crops. Make your living from the gospel and the teaching. And then he gives an example of his own endurance to encourage Timothy to continue. Remember Christ Jesus, risen from the dead, descendant of David, according to my gospel, for which I suffer hardship, even to imprisonment as a criminal. But the word of God is not imprisoned. For this reason I endure all things for the sake of those who are chosen, so that they also may obtain the salvation which is by Christ Jesus, and with it eternal glory. It is a trustworthy statement. If we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we're faithless, he remains faithful. For he cannot deny himself. Paul then talks about how to deal with false teachers. Starting in chapter 2, verse 14, going down to verse 18. There are going to continue to be people that will not abide by the truth. You have to deal with it. You have to face them down. In verse 19, he points out there's all sorts of people in the church. There are good people. There are bad people. The church is no different than the other places. Maybe we have more good people. We hope we have more good people. But we still deal with all sorts. In verse 19, he says, nevertheless, the firm foundation of God stands, having this seal, the Lord knows those who are his. Everyone who names the name of the Lord is to abstain from wickedness. Now, in a large house, there are not only gold and silver vessels, but also vessels of wood and earthenware, some honor and some to dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from these things, he will be a vessel of honor, sanctified and useful to the master, prepared for every good work. Got to become better. Got to become God's people. The last half of last portion of chapter 2, starting with verse 22, Paul talks about the fact that there are people that are caught up in sin. How do you deal with them? Earlier you talked about how to deal with false teachers. People are purposely teaching against God's word. Now he's saying, okay, now we have also people that are caught up in sin. How do you bring them back? And he talks about the gentleness and the patience that is needed for that. In chapter 3, he moves on to the future. He talks about the fact there's going to be an apostasy. The church is going to fail. People are going to fall away. And so he gives himself again in chapter 3, verse 10, his own example. He says, "Now you following my teachings, conduct, purpose, faith, patience, love, perseverance, persecutions and sufferings, such as has happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, and at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord rescued me. Indeed, all those who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. But evil men and impostors will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. You will be persecuted." Sometimes I wonder if we understand that. Life is going to have times when it's going to get really rough. And it's going to be really hard to be a Christian. Paul suffered quite a bit. We talk about his. Are we willing to face it and see it ourselves? Would we last through that? And so Paul also then tells him, starting with verse 14 down to verse 17, that Timothy needed to continue in the things that he learned. Again, the emphasis is on focusing on the gospel. He's known it since his childhood. Stay with it all the way through the end. Going on to chapter 4, starting with verse 1, "I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But wanting to have their ears tickled, they'll accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance with their own desires, and will turn their ears away from the truth, and will turn aside to myths. But you, be sober in all things, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry." He needs to teach. He needs to hold on to the truth, regardless of its reception. That doesn't matter. Paul then talks about his imprisonment, how he is prepared for death, as in verse 6 through 8. He talks about his situation in chapter 4, verses 9 through 18. And then he closes out his letters like he always does. He brings greetings from various people. He sends greetings to other people. Verses 19 through 21. And in all of Paul's letters, he ends with a benediction. "The Lord be with your spirit. Grace be with you." The thing that I would hope we take from this to the very end is the fact that each of us have a job to do. And we don't know what the future holds. But even in the face of persecution, even in the face of death, I want you to notice that Paul focused on other people. He wasn't worried about himself. He knows where he was, what he has done, and where he stands with the Lord. His focus is on those he's leaving behind, to encourage them to hang on. And may we do the same, passing on the gospel from one person to another. Hope you'll think about these things. If there's anyone here today who's not yet a child of God, there is no better time than right now to put on Christ. And for those of you who are children of God and would like the prayers of your brethren on your behalf, why don't you come forward as we stand and sing the song "Selected."